Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Garden Maintenance. No. Gullible Morris Dancers. No. Graham Norton's Macho. No. Gossip Mongers. Yes. Gossip Mongers. Yes. Yes. That's it. Gossip Mongers. Welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
This is from Ryan. Dear Gossip Mongers, my piece of gossip comes from a bloke I used to work with years ago. Let's call him Tom. Tom told me that when he was growing up, he and his older brother were lucky enough to have a small swimming pool in the back garden of their family home. This seemed unlikely to me as I knew that Tom and his family were from Basildon in Essex, and the idea that anyone in Basildon owned a swimming pool in the 80s is quite frankly laughable. Anyway, one day in the summer holidays, Tom and his brother were splashing about in the pool having a great time. Tom's brother told him to see how long he could go underwater for, and he would time it. Tom couldn't be bothered, so kept saying no, but his brother continued to ask him with an increasingly urgent tone. Tom eventually relented and dutifully held his breath underwater for about 30 seconds or so before surfacing. As Tom opened his eyes, he noticed his brother lowering his arm quickly from above his head down to the surface of the water, but thought nothing of it. "How long was I under?" Tom asked. "Don't know," said his brother, then announced he was getting out of the pool. Tom thought this was odd, given how insistent his brother was to play the game just 30 seconds earlier. His brother got out, and Tom continued to splash about on his own. A couple of minutes later, a man appeared over the garden fence. Tom recognised the man as a neighbour from a few doors down the road. The man was furious and waving around barbecue tongs, shouting about disgusting animals or something. Eventually, the man explained that while he was stood in his garden barbecuing sausages for his family, on a lovely summer's day, a huge, sopping wet human turd.
Just lobbed a turd.
And came flying over his face. Hit his barbecue and displaced the sausage on the grill.
Fucking hell.
Did he just lob a turd?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Tom immediately protested his innocence, having no idea what this bloke was on about and suspecting he might be fully mental. It was only halfway through this explanation that the penny finally dropped for Tom, much like that human butt nugget. And Tom realised the weird arm movement he'd seen from his brother as he surfaced minutes earlier was the smoking gun. And his brother was actually the phantom turd lobber. Suddenly, everything made sense. His brother's weird insistence on Tom going underwater for as long as possible had provided him with just enough time to fire out a nug, grab it from the back of his shorts, and fling it over the fence.
None of this makes any sense to me. Why not nip to the lab?
He then escaped just in time to leave Tom to take the consequences. It was an almost flawlessly executed plan. And had Tom not been a total pussy and surfaced just 1 second later, he would have got away scot-free. Luckily, the man accepted Tom's claims of innocence and walked away. Tom later confronted his brother about it, but he denied it and just smiled.
Lobberturd. Gossip number two.
My best mate has a dodgy neighbour called Mr. Brennan, or as he's locally known in the town as Slanty, as his abnormally large limbs, and he gives my mate a lot of grief for building shitty extensions that look over my friend's garden and blocks his southern-facing sunlight.
What? So, yeah. Say that all again?
My best mate has a dodgy neighbour called
not
Mr.
All of it.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
It's basically a bloke called Slant.
Yeah,
it's got to go with someone for extensions.
Yeah.
Right,
right, I'm going to read it again. I'd love a comma at some point, but I'm not going to get one. My best mate has a dodgy neighbour called Mr. Brennan, who, as he's locally known in the town as Slanty, I think he means because of his abnormally large limbs. And he gives my mate a lot of grief by building shitty extensions that overlook my friend's garden and blocks the southern-facing sunlight. So, yeah, can't have any more fucking barbecues thanks to that cock.
I still don't know what's going on.
Nor do I.
Is that the end of the...
No, it's not. But and the counts are about as useful as a chocolate teapot when it comes to building regulations. I know what you're thinking. What a prick. I'm not thinking anything, mate. I'm confused. But it doesn't end there. He literally always looks at me every time I go round my friends through his old withered net curtains. But he's a lanky prick, so his head's right at the top of the front living room window. Basically at a 45-degree angle and virtually touching the frame. I assume that's why he's got a receding hairline, the nosy right-angled bastard. Did he just offload about someone?
It?
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish.
I think he just had a moan about his friend's neighbour, didn't he?
Another prick of a neighbour. This time some bloke with long arms and legs. Proper asshole. Slanty. 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 Proper asshole. Gossip number 3.
This is from Anonymous. When I was 20, I moved to Inner Mongolia to teach English. I thought I was going to help at an orphanage, but after a month I realised that it was a regular school. The Canadian manager told me it was an orphanage, so I wouldn't ask for a higher salary, twat. Anyway, I lived on a small street that had pet shops down one side of the street and restaurants down the other. But there was one shop, though, with a lady sat in the window who would tap on the glass when you walked past. My manager explained that this was a hairdresser, happy ending massage parlour, and encouraged me to get involved, telling me that he was a regular. At the time, I had a girlfriend back in England, so I didn't pursue things any further. However, I got really drunk on Mongolian vodka one night and was stumbling home and obviously made the choice to investigate. At the time, I didn't speak any Chinese or Mongolian. It's also worth pointing out that the city of Huihuiti at the time...
Oh, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, at the time, had less than 10 foreigners in a city of 6 million. She ushers me through the door and I jabber at her and she jabbers at me. It becomes clear that communication is going to be an issue. They have a bed, though, and I lie down on it and she holds up 5 fingers to signify 50 RMB, 5 quid. So she starts giving me a massage and after about 10 minutes, worked her way round to my knob.
Nice and blunt. It's hardly 50 shades of grey, is it?
She holds up 5 fingers again, which I correctly take to mean £5 for a happy ending. So I give her another 50. She commences the grisly task. But after a matter of moments, a thought hits her. She tries to explain something using 10 fingers. And although I don't know what she's on about, I guess that for an extra 100, something wonderful might happen. I'm very drunk. So fine, I give her another 100, which point she yells to the back room and another beefy woman comes out. The original lady keeps going on the up, down, but to my horror, Beefy climbs astride me, wraps her fingers round my throat and starts to choke me. I'm in a fight for my life. I start thrashing about, but she's too heavy. I kick my legs, trying to gain enough momentum to unseat her, but she's a big girl. At one point, I manage to tell her to fucking stop, but she just smiles and spits in my face. All the time, the hand job continues with metronomic precision. Somehow, I roll off the bed, push Beefy into a corner. They're both cackling hysterically and run out the door into the night, saliva glistening on my face. For the next 6 months, every day on my way to and from school, the lady taps on the window when she sees me and bursts out laughing. Where's Beefy? I feel uneasy about the situation. At one point, I get a new girlfriend called Rabbit, whose father is famous for leather trousers. I tell Rabbit about the night in question. She decides to investigate. She visits the shop. Basically, their only previous foreign customer had been my manager. He was into a bit of abuse. The lady had kindly been asking me if I wanted the same as the other foreigner. Terrible. 4 years ago, that manager died in a snowmobile accident. And his mum posted in Facebook asking for his friends to write their favourite story about their son. I resisted the urge. That was good.
Superb.
Yeah, well played, Luke.
Ispiton your face, y estrangeli your neck. Ispiton your face, my name Beefy. Ispiton your face.
I spit on your face, I strangle your neck. I spit on your face, my name Beefy. I spit on your face. Gossip number four.
Right. In my younger days... Oh, this is from Mark from Wigan. In my younger days, I played a lot of amateur rugby, so I've seen my fair share of shenanigans and skullduggery. For example, I used to play with a bloke called John, who got the nickname Tenpin because of the proclivity of sticking his fingers up other players' arseholes in a scrum like a bowling ball.
Fucking hell. Why would you want... No game is worth...
No. It really isn't. Just draw or lose. At halftime, if you saw Tenpin sitting there in the dressing room with a huge, great smirk on his face, you knew it'd only be a matter of time before he wafted one of his poo soaked digits in front of someone's noses and asked them to guess which anus the smell had originated.
Fucking hell. Honestly.
I just need to recap. So during the game, to gain an advantage, he pushes his fingers up the opponent's arse.
Yeah, and they're all 18, 19 stone men with big cracks.
Big arses. Do none of them wear pants or shorts? Just go around bottomless. Right. But the rumour I submit to you today is significantly more disturbing than a bit of Saturday morning arse play. It involves a mysterious bloke who played just once for our team. We knew him only as Ken. Ken didn't say much.
Ken, what a great name.
Ken didn't say much. He turned up to play, got changed into his kit, nodded at the coach when he was told he was starting on the bench. When he got on the pitch, it wasn't long before all hell broke loose.
Ken, the rugby player. Mysterious rugby player.
He sounds like he's 58.
Yeah, he does.
Someone swung a punch and players piled in. When the referee finally sorted everything out, Ken was sat there, blood pouring out of his mouth. He was taken off to the physio, so the physio could see what the matter was. But that is the last time we ever saw Ken. A few minutes later, I tackled one of the other team's players and noticed blood on his white shorts. I asked if he was all right, and he lifted up the material to reveal a massive, big, bloody chunk was missing from his arse cheek. A few weeks later, we heard that exactly the same thing had happened down the road in a different team.
Again.
He goes from team to team biting people's arses.
Oh, God.
Then fucks off, never to be seen again. He's only on 10 minutes.
God, I'm really picturing Ken Barlow.
The legend of Ken died down after that until a few years ago when a plumber mate of mine did a job in a house in Radcliffe.
He got his ass bitten.
Yeah, halfway up the ladder. My mate swears blind, the owner of the house, had a shelf in the kitchen with labelled jars containing what he thought were pickled onions and other vegetables. On closer inspection, they were bits of bum.
Oh, God, that makes me sick. Fucking hell.
This is Ken and Radcliffe.
Oh, God.
Every jar had a date and the name of a team where the samples were first collected.
Fucking hell! Oh, God!
He reckoned it had been happening for years.
Oh, fucking God. Hell!
Playing rugby is not enough for Ken.
Oh, dear. I didn't see that coming. I love how he's whisked away. Again.
Do you want to fuck off, Ken? Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh. What was the dog that just walked the earth? No. Like, what's the TV program with a dog?
Lassie.
Littlest Hobo. Like the Littlest Hobo.
Oh, fucking hell. So Ken bites, weird serial killer just going around different rugby league sides. Fucking hell.
He must keep it in his mouth and then deposit it like when he gets in the car.
And then puts a label on it.
There's a jar in the glove compartment.
By the way, that plumber's obviously talking. Dawned on me.
Also, I imagined it like it's a really nice kitchen.
He's got jars of arse on the shelves.
But it's like
with the
really
pasta.
Nice, really nice pans hanging on the wall and stuff.
Oh,
and then
fuck
just
it out.
One
oh,
corner's got jars of arse.
Astonishing bit of gossip. That's going to be in the top 10. Easy, easy peasy. God, that fucking finger up the arse seems years ago. It's just a little amuse bouche.
A palate cleanser.
Oh, flipping hell.
Mysterious Ken. He bite chunk out of your big ass. He then store your ass in kitchen. Mysterious Ken. He's out there somewhere. He buy Ken. A chunk out of your big ass. He buy a chunk out of your big ass. Ken. Gossip number 5.
Hi, guys. I'm writing to you about my neighbour from the early 90s. His name was Paul, and he lived with his wife and four daughters a few doors away from my family in Northern Ireland. I was very young, so I don't have actual memories of this, only gossip and rumours, which is obviously the best source of information. Firstly, the council had to visit Paul repeatedly because of the general condition of the house and the odd assortments of animals that their family tended to hoard. Once they had to visit because they were keeping a donkey in the back garden of the council house in the middle of a busy town. When they investigated further, they apparently found a turtle living in the bath, meaning the family hadn't been bathing for several months. There was also a gangrene... Fuck off.
Does that mean that?
No, sorry. There was a... Yeah, you can take a turtle out.
Take a turtle out of the bath and bathe.
You put the turtle back. There was also a gangrenous chimp in the living room, along with several dogs and cats. Finally, the youngest daughter had nits that would jump from her eyebrows as she spoke. Do you think the speaking set them off? Do you think that what it was? It was the noise.
What?
Do you think it was her talking that made them jump?
Well, they got all nervous. Well,
the noise disturbs them.
Brilliant image in my head.
So am I.
Well,
she sat there quiet. Nothing happens.
I'm thinking of Michael Benteen.
Who?
You know Michael Benteen used to have a flea circus.
Oh, yeah. Like doing trapezes off her eyebrows. That only happens when she starts talking.
Oh, God.
This doesn't really count as hoarding animals, although they were trying to escape, much like the others. I have included a screenshot in attachment of some gossip mongering with my mum as I check some for the facts surrounding Paul's pets. Happy gossiping, lots of love, CF. If this is selected, please don't use my name in case he sends the gangrenous chimp after me.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, fucking hell. Please jumping from her.
Funny little girl with dirty little fleas living in her eyebrows. If you please. Ah, yes. Boing, boing. Fleas in the strips of hair above her eyes. Boing, boing. Boing, boing. Boing, boing. Boing, boing. Gossip number 6.
This is from Anonymous. Hi, gossip mongers. This rumour concerns a young lady who was known to me in the late 2000s and took place near Glastonbury in Somerset when we were about 17 or 18 years old. This young woman, who later became known as DFS, it was said was not altogether very experienced in the bedroom department. In our second year at college, she and a chap called Seb were courting and things were going swimmingly. The romance was blossoming and they were beginning to discover each other sexually. DFS's parents were due to be away for a few nights while she stayed at home to dog sit. This presented the perfect opportunity for a nice long stretch of time alone when she and Seb would not be disturbed. The weekend drew near and the pair were beside themselves with excitement. On the big day, DFS welcomed Seb to the family home. They took the stairs two at a time in their haste to get down to some serious spelunking. With the house to themselves, their tantric territory quickly expanded from her quarters until eventually they were performing the conjugals in the hallway, on the stairs, and even over the kitchen counter. The eager lovebirds made passionate, squelchy, whiling away many happy hours together. And as their familiarity with each other grew, so did their appetite for experimentation. On the afternoon of the second day, Seb inquired whether he might enter via the tradesman's entrance. Excited by such a thrilling prospect and not wanting to divulge her naivety in his area, DFS quickly agreed. Having been offered the keys to the city, Seb readied himself while DFS made herself comfortable kneeling on the family sofa. The lad presented himself slowly at first, member poised, twitching with anticipation, and as he pushed forth, became acquainted with her starry-eyed bunghole.
Hell, this is childish.
We shall never know whether it was a symptom of her pent-up excitement that caused what happened next, or if it was overzealousness on Seb's part as he enthusiastically mashed at her unborn turds.
Unborn turds. This is very basic, but very well written.
Or if he somehow managed to hit some internal emergency relief button.
I wonder where this is going.
Whatever it was, the upshot was that the resolve of her fudgy clench succumbed and a brown volcano erupted over the soft furnishings as the contents of her rectum exited in a sudden and dramatic fashion. Subsequent hours before her parents were due to return home were spent trying to clean up the resulting mess. Despite their best efforts, her parents' prized cream sofa was christened with several very large coffee-coloured stains. When her family arrived home, unable to face the embarrassment of admitting what had happened, DFS concocted a cover story. And it was to be Ralphie, the family's beloved pooch, who'd shoulder the blame. In the yarn, she spun to cover for a buggery-related mishap. Ralphie had been taken ill. She described a range of fictional symptoms, which included bountifully opening his bowels upon the furniture in a spectacular and almost effervescent upset. Concerned for the welfare of their pup, her parents rushed the dog to the vet and relayed the fictional menu of symptoms. From the description, the vet deduced that the hound must be near the end of his natural life and gently explained that the kindest thing to do... would be to have the dog put to sleep. Not wanting their animal to suffer any longer than necessary, DFS's parents took the tough decision to do what they were advised was best for the dog. They waited as Ralphie was prepped and then said their goodbyes, watching as the drug was administered and their pet slipped away before returning home to break the news to DFS. The last I heard, DFS was living in a garage squat with 10 or so hippies. Oh my god.
Shat on the sofa. Blamed it on the dog. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Shat on the sofa. Blamed it on the dog. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. D. If. S. D. If. S. D. If. S. D.
gossip number 7.
This is from Mark in Sheffield. This story is from a man I used to work with. Let's call him Stephen. He's retired now, but he grew up on the Isle of Wight in the town of Cowes. A river runs down the middle of Cowes, splitting the town in half. Don't have to tell me, mate. Stephen went to school on one side of the river and lived on the other. So every day he had to catch the floating bridge across the river and back. There was a girl a few years older than Stephen who he fancied. He didn't know her, but he saw her on the floating bridge every day when he came home from school. He said she often wore a short purple dress that he really liked. Whenever he saw her, he used to jump off the floating bridge before everyone else and run home. He stripped off all his clothes as he ran up the stairs. Oh, he'd be totally naked by the time he ran into the front bedroom. Stephen lived on the main road and the older girl walked past his house. He'd secretly watch her walking by from the front bedroom window and wank furiously
until she was
no,
out of
really?
Sight.
No, I didn't see that coming. Fucking hell. Oh, horrible. I got hooked in. I thought it was quite a sweet story. He liked her purple dress.
God.
He better get married to her.
God. Flipping hell. Stephen's after-school window wanks took place regularly and without a hitch. Every day, running off the floating bridge, declothe on the stairs and arrive at the front bedroom window, cock in hand, just in time. One day, everything was normal. Stephen rang naked into the bedroom.
Everything was not normal. Fucking was not.
He'd been at the window 5 or 10 seconds when he heard a voice behind him. Stephen, what are you doing? It was his sister in bed who had stayed home ill. It was his sister's bedroom he used for window wanks. Stephen ran from the room trying to cover his pubescent penis, and remarkably, Stephen's sister never mentioned the incident to him again. Another story from Stephen, who is a self-confessed filthy bastard. He was recently laid naked on his bed on his side, tugging himself off. At the moment he climaxed, the dog ran in and licked his bum hole. Stephen said he didn't want to enjoy it, but he did.
Oh, the guilt.
Oh, God.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earle will now choose their favourite rumour.
Okie doke, here are the top 5 from that episode. Number 1, DFS.
DFS, what was that again?
Shitting on the sofa and then killing the dog.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, my mistake.
Number 2, the flying turd.
Oh, yeah.
Number 3, happy ending strangle.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Number 4, Ken eats arses. Ken
Sorry?
Eats arses.
Sorry, say that again?
No. And number 5, Slanty, the neighbour. Okay, so if you write down...
Yeah, what I'm writing down.
I'll write down my favourite. Yeah. All right, after 3. 1, 2, 3. Ken eats arses.
Strangle with a happy ending.
Oh,
no. Oh, shit. No, yeah. Ken is arses.
Ken what?
Ken's arses.
Ken eats. Do you remember the actual fucking gossip?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ken's arses.
No, Ken bites arses on there.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about him.
How do you forget about him?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do we do if we don't agree? I'm not saying I don't agree. I agree now.
No, I'll do that for another time.
Yeah, deal with that. By just saying, go for that one.
Okay, well, we're going to put Ken Eats Arses down the cylindrical tube and it's going to whiz its way
up
and then shoot out onto the leaderboard. And what happens at the end of the season, Joe?
The top ones that have gone through the chute into the leaderboard will be in the draw to the quarterfinals of the Gossip of the Year.
Yeah, so I'm going to roll up Ken Eats Arses. And then pop it into the tube. There it goes. Woo! And on to the leaderboard. Ken eats arses.
So he's, by default, he's top, yeah, isn't he? Now, do you reckon he'll stay there for quite... I think he's going to stay top for quite a while, but that's just my...
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Don't know.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a fucking shit? It's just a way of end. It's just a way of ending the podcast, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Bye bye.
Everyone's
for now.
Switched off at this point, anyway.
Okay. See you on the next one, everyone.
Oh yeah. See you on the next one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it into gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye bye.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to, there's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.